know what we need? We need a radio show on the air, like maybe on Saturday nights, that talks about this kind of thing.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman here. I want to let my listeners know about a brilliant Renaissance man named Dr. Arthur Perry.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry? The best in plastic surgery.
He's a distinguished, award-winning cosmetic surgeon trained at Harvard and Cornell with a practice in New York City on Fifth Avenue.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur, and I want to again applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
He's written numerous medical journal articles, and he's contributed to textbooks on plastic surgery.
Your remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
It's clear that when it comes to skin and aging, this doctor knows what he's talking about.
Joan, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
Arthur Perry, this is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. What a great weekend it is, isn't it? It's a Father's Day weekend. It's about time we've got some decent weather in New York. And I am out in the hillside watching the dogs and the pigs. Not kidding. Out here, and we're here for you. And this is the show about you. This is the show about wrinkles and about fat on your hips and about breasts that sag and about jowls and about, yeah, that's what this show is all about. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. We've been on the air for 13 years now, and you can become part of the show by giving us a call, 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-WABC. We've got so much to talk about on this beautiful spring weekend today. But we do want to make sure that you are using your sunscreen, because you know what tomorrow is? Tomorrow is going to be the highest UV index day of the year so far, 9.4. What does that mean? That means you're going to fry in just about 15 minutes if you go out without your sunscreen. So make sure at least use mine. Well, I'm biased, of course. It's an SPF 20. Actually, it measures a 23. It's okay for those strolls up and down Fifth Avenue if you go to Central Park. It's not okay if you're going to the beach tomorrow. You have to use something stronger. I recommend a 30, because tomorrow it's the highest UV index of the year so far, 9.4. It's 9.1 today, so if you were outside today, you would be sunburned just like Albert the pig. He's all red from the sun. Not kidding. You have to put sunblock on pigs. People don't realize that. Well, I have as an in-studio guest Stephanie Weiss today. She is a member of Generation Z, she tells me. Generation Z. That means she's 16, right, Stephanie?
Yeah, I'm 16.
All right, so she's learning a little bit about radio and about skincare, trying to teach me about skincare. Well, we'll see. All right, but Stephanie's going to be listening in and maybe making a few comments, and have your hand on that 6-second delay, because God knows what these Generation Zers might say. All right. So today, before we begin, I want to mention that callers to tonight's show will once again get a bottle of Nighttime. Nighttime is the one-stop shopping for skincare. It's got everything you need for skincare and none of the extras that really don't work. That means we've got vitamin C, 10% in the right concentration, by the way. So many of the skin creams have vitamin C in forms that can't work, your body can't recognize. Or they have, you know, just too low a concentration. Or how about the vitamin C that you put on in the morning and it's destroyed within 20 seconds of getting out in a ultraviolet index day, 9.4, 20 seconds and your vitamin C is destroyed. So put it on at night. That's why it's in Nighttime. We've got vitamin C, vitamin A, fruit acids, milk thistle, all the good things. None of the bad things in a light serum. A lot of people say, well, it's not creamy like your old night skin was, Dr. Perry. Well, that's because I think we don't want the residue. We don't want unnecessary ingredients on your skin. So I use a serum, a very light serum, so we deliver the good things, and I don't want extra stuff on your skin. All right, well, you get a bottle of Nighttime if you call the show and have a good call, a good question for me. I know a lot of my patients say, oh, I'm going to call your show. But, where are you? Where are you? You're always calling at 6:50. That's why, it's an hour show. Call now. This is the time to do it. All right, tonight we're going to be talking about Ulthera. interesting subject. I haven't talked about Althera all that much. It's a high energy focused ultrasound, and it is pretty interesting. And there's some new information about Althera that I'm just dying to tell you about. So we might get to that right away, and then we're going to talk about you. We've got a great guest from RWJ St. Barnabas tonight. We've got a full show, so get your calls in early, 800-848-9222. So here's a really interesting one. You know, here's what Althera is. So it's high intensity, high energy, focused ultrasound. What does that mean? It's sound energy. Sound has energy, just like light has energy. Just as, do you learn this in school, Stephanie?
Yeah, about in sound? Physics.
Okay, good. See, even and what grade are you in again?
I'm going into 11th, so I'll be a junior.
You had to think about that, didn't you? Okay, so you're going into 11th, and she learned about sound having energy because there's all sorts of forms of energy. There's light energy and electrical energy, sound energy, and those are the ones that we use for the most part in medicine. We know light energy being lasers, you know, and what do? They injure in some way the skin. They generate heat, and it is the heat that stimulates a reaction in our bodies. And we shrink tissue. This is the one for wrinkles, the laser for wrinkles. We shrink tissue, and we generate new collagen. Well, we can do that with sound energy also. But sound doesn't destroy the upper layer of skin when we apply it. We can actually focus the sound underneath the skin, and that's what Althera is all about. And you know, you might say, well, I'm skeptical because I don't see anything from Althera afterwards. In fact, I've had plenty of patients who have been gone on television the very same day they've had the Althera. You could never do that with any other procedure. You can't even do it with Botox. Well, maybe Botox. But you certainly can't do it with a laser. You can't really do it with filler because of the unpredictability of the bruising and swelling of filler. But you can do it with Althera because, honestly, you know, Althera, I do the procedure. It's a little uncomfortable. And where do we do it? We do it on the cheeks mostly, on the brows, on the neck, and it generates heat. And what does that do? So yes, it causes you to shrink the tissue, and there's some shrinkage immediately. You know, we call that the bacon in the frying pan. Oh my goodness, what an analogy. Yeah, you put the bacon in the frying pan or other meat and it shrinks up. Yeah, we're looking at a pig outside the window here, so the poor thing, I hope he didn't hear me. But anyway, the bacon in the frying pan, it's the immediate effect. But really what happens is the teaching has been that Althera takes 6 months to see its effect. I'm going to tell you that there's some data that is new that shows maybe it works and peaks earlier than 6 months. So we're going to get into that during the show. But we're also going to talk about, before we get to our first phone call and our busy phones already, I want to tell you it's the funniest thing, the case of Althera on the wrong cheeks. All right, now I've got a 16-year-old, so I have to be very careful what I say here. But, you know, normally we do Althera on the cheeks, on your cheeks, on your neck, on your eyebrows. But there was a study. This is a great one. Are you ready for it? You ready for it? This is worth listening to the show for. Althera now has been used on other cheeks. What other cheeks? Well, how about the buttock cheeks maybe? What are we doing? Buttock, Althera. Well, there's a publication. Here's the thing. As we get older, you get cellulite, right? Everybody's got cellulite. You know, most women, not too many men, to be honest, but women, you get it on your buttocks, you get it on your thighs. And it is really such an issue. There are so many machines and creams and things like that that have been designed to help cellulite. And I can tell you that they don't work. And every couple of years, there's something brand new, and it's billed as the newest and the best, and it's going to help cellulite. And the pictures look good at 6 months, and you see people at a year and a half, and they're right back to where they were before because the cellulite treatments are really just causing some inflammation and filling up that cellulite with a little swelling. And when all is said and done, not so much of an effect. But here's one. This is a really good one. I like this a lot. Using Althera in combination with Radius. Radius is calcium hydroxyl apatite. You know, I've used that as a wrinkle filler since 2004 when it was FDA approved on the face, and I've used it in the nasolabial folds and in areas in the face, but now a study came out. They're using Radius on the cheeks, not the cheeks up high, but the cheeks down low, and on the thighs for cellulite along with the Althera treatment. So this is really pretty interesting. And here's the story. At 90 days doing the treatment of a combination of Althera and injecting 1 cc, that's 1 syringe, of the Radius, R-A-D-I-E-S-S-E, if you're taking notes, Radius, at 90 days, women looked great in most people. Subject satisfaction was very high. They actually looked at samples of the tissue, and they showed that the treatments together caused you to make some of your own collagen. And it's really pretty interesting, the conclusion of the study. And this was published in the journal Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery, a great journal. The conclusion was the combination treatment of Althera and the Radius is effective for improving skin laxity. So it tightens the skin and the appearance of cellulite on the buttocks and the upper thigh. So this is a great paper, and every now and then one of these papers comes across that's really very different. It's not just the same stuff published over and over and little nuances. This is a new idea, and I can tell you on Monday, my patients are going to be calling me for this one. I know it because, you know, this is new, and so many of you have cellulite. And so stay tuned. A little more of this story with the Althera after our guest. But we're going to take a short break in a couple minutes. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle? I know, Joan and Bob, you've waited, and I went into that Althera story, and now we're going to have a guest. So Joan and Bob and the rest of you on the board, please wait until, stay on the line. At 6:30, I promise the first thing I'll do is get to your phone calls. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle here on WABC. The phone number, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. We'll be back after these words.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is WABC's What's Your Wrinkle show. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon and host of this show for a long, long time. And on Saturday evening, this is what I do. I hope you're doing something a little bit more fun. But you're listening to the radio and you're learning. And hopefully you did have a great weekend and are ready with your sunscreen for tomorrow if you didn't put it on today. So we're going to get to our interview in just a minute, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about Althera just for a minute. What does it do? So as it heats up the tissue, it actually causes the shrinkage of tissue and the generation of new collagen. And I would tell my patients, I've been doing it for 8 years, I would tell my patients, well, it looks like it peaks at 6 months. So we really want to wait for 6 months to assess the results. And there was a study that showed that 90% of people were satisfied. That means they saw a reasonable change. You know, it's not a facelift, but it is a nice rejuvenating effect of your face. And 90% of people see that after 6 months. But then there was another study that came out that looked at the 3 month and the 6 month result. And it turns out that the benefits of Althera peak at 3 months, not 6 months. So if you don't have the result you want, we used to wait till 6 months. We really can get it done. We can do a second procedure, and there's additive benefit if we do that even at 3 months. All right. Now, we're going to be talking with Dr. Rajiv Verma. He is a cardiologist, and very interesting. He's a pediatric cardiologist, but more than that, he's a pediatric interventional cardiologist. I haven't even heard of that at Children's Hospital of New Jersey at Newark Beth Israel Medical Center, which is an RWJ Barnabas Health facility. He's the only, this is why I haven't heard of it, he's the only pediatric interventional cardiologist in the entire state of New Jersey. Now, he specializes in minimally invasive heart procedures using little catheters, which are thin, flexible tubes placed through little incisions in the skin, as opposed to traditional surgery. Dr. Verma, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I want to thank you so much for taking time on your Saturday evening. And I know you've trained at some really good places at New York Presbyterian. Back in those days, it was New York Hospital. I was there at the same time. And in Boston at Boston Children's. And I appreciate the expertise that you bring to this show. We're going to talk a little bit about congenital heart defects, and that's one of the leading causes of birth defect-associated illnesses and death in infants. More than 40,000 babies are born each year with a congenital heart defect, and about a quarter of those need surgery in the first year of life. That's a lot of kids. So I want you to tell me about the Children's Heart Center at Children's Hospital of New Jersey at the Beth Israel Medical Center. Not the Beth Israel I trained at in Boston, but the one in Newark.
Yes. Our Children's Heart Center was established a little over 20 years ago, and I've been there since 1998, where, and you know, we've evolved into a very comprehensive program. We're the only pediatric congenital cardiac program in the state of New Jersey that provides every aspect of congenital heart disease. It includes, you know, normal screening to exclude congenital heart disease, whether it's prenatal, during fetal life, or even in postnatal and into adult. We also take care of adults with congenital heart disease. My passion is transcatheter therapy, and we have availability of every FDA-approved transcatheter intervention for congenital heart disease at Children's Hospital. And, you know, the focus has always been to provide excellence in care and to provide quality outcomes which are comparable to anywhere in the region. And that's the most important thing about Children's Heart Center.
All right. So now let's talk for a minute about what types of conditions that you can treat in your role. I guess you're the director of the pediatric cardiac catheterization lab. So as a director, what exactly are you doing? What are the conditions that parents bring their children to you to treat?
So when I started off in my career, the majority of cardiac cath procedures were diagnostic caths. Nowadays, we don't do most of our interventions are now most of our cardiac catheterizations are interventions, it's because we have such wonderful non-invasive imaging modalities available. So, in terms of the therapy or interventions we provide, you know, you can either close abnormal defects like atrial septal defects or ventricular septal defects. These are holes in the upper or lower chambers of the heart. Or we can close a congenital defect called patent ductus arteriosus. And then there are situations where either valves are obstructed or lung arteries or pulmonary arteries or aorta are obstructed, and we can enlarge them by balloon procedures, or we can place transcatheter stents. And this is further evolved to a few years ago, we now also have the capability of deploying pulmonary valves by transcatheter techniques. Now, in adults, you hear a lot about aortic valves being implanted by transcatheter techniques, but we do that in children and young adults for the pulmonary valves.
Well, that's quite amazing. Now, my daughter was born, I guess, 28 years ago, with an atrial septal defect and a ventricular septal defect. And thankfully, hers closed without the need for surgery. But I remember back in those days, it was going to be one of the bigger procedures where a big incision was made in the chest and the whole shebang. But you're doing these procedures minimally invasive. Tell us a little bit about that. If someone has, let's say, an atrial septal defect, how do you fix that? Remember, we don't want to get too technical, but how do you fix that with a catheter?
Well, we insert a catheter, as you described earlier, which are very thin and long tubes. We puncture a vein near the femoral region, which is in front of the hip, and under guidance with fluoroscopy and specialized echocardiography, we advance these catheters into the heart. We size the atrial septal defect with a balloon to help decide what size device to deploy. Once the device has been deployed, we confirm its stability and appropriate position, and then we release it. And then the tubes or the catheters come out, but the device remains a permanent part of the body and gets covered over by the tissue on the inner lining of the heart.
You know, Dr. Verma, I know this is, for you, this is now routine, but this is absolutely spectacular what you're talking about. And I hope my listeners can appreciate, I'm speaking with Dr. Rajiv Verma, who is a cardiologist, a pediatric cardiologist, and the director of interventional cardiology for pediatrics at the Children's Hospital of New Jersey, which is part of Newark Beth Israel Medical Center, an RWJ Barnabas Health facility. A lot of words there, but what Dr. Verma is talking about is absolutely spectacular, the ability to fix congenital heart defects without having to undergo surgery. It's really quite spectacular. When did these changes really occur? Because I remember in my surgical residency, this was fantasy, 30 years ago. When did this all occur, and how did you get involved in it?
Well, I've always been passionate about the heart, therapy to alleviate certain types of congenital heart disease were just starting out in the 80s and 90s, but became a more comprehensive and cohesive program in the late 90s, around the time when I finished my cardiology training. And over the last 20 years, the field of transcatheter therapy for congenital heart disease in both children as young as newborn to as old as 70 years old, we apply this technology in newer and innovative ways, and that helps quite a few situations where we can either circumvent or augment cardiac surgery. But I'm amazed myself when I see the advances in technology and the speed with which it's happening, and it's really very rewarding that when we can provide this service to our children and young adults, they recover rapidly within 24 hours, they're home, and go on with their lives.
It's really quite amazing. So now, why should patients choose to come to the Children's Heart Center at Children's Hospital of New Jersey instead of another facility? You know, there's a lot of choices out there, and a lot not nearly as sophisticated as yours, but a lot of choices. So tell us a little bit about your center in particular.
You know, the two main reasons are, one, we will provide you with the highest quality of care, and that has been and will always be my passion. You just have to do it right every time you take care of a child. It's never a routine procedure. And the other advantage is when we can provide the same service as would be obtained at any other institution around the country. I actually advocate for people to go get opinions elsewhere. But if it's in your backyard, you don't have to travel long distances. It's a big burden on families. Not only are they shocked by having to learn about these procedures being necessary, but having to travel so far, find places to live and things like that. But we can provide all of that service right here with equal or better results with transcatheter intervention.
And that's the bottom line. So, Dr. Rajiv Verma, thank you so much. And now, how can listeners get more information about the Newark Beth Israel Children's Heart Center? Do you have a phone number they can call?
Yes. Area code is 973-926-3500.
So once again, that's 973-926-3500. If you're interested, if you've got a relative, if you're your child, or you just want to put that number on your refrigerator, heaven forbid, you need that. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Rajiv Verma. You've been a wonderful guest, and thank you very much for what you do for the children in the state of New Jersey.
Most welcome. Thank you for giving me this opportunity, Dr. Perry.
You're very welcome. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. There's more to the show. Stay tuned. 800-848-9222. The board is filled. I promise to get to your...
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, board-certified plastic surgeon, host of What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. The phone number, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. Bob, you've been hanging on the line for like half an hour. What can I do for you? What's your wrinkle? Did we lose Bob? Oh, no, he hung on for so long. Is he there, Mr. Producer? Oh, I'm sorry. We'll hope. You know, we try to get to the phone calls. All right, Bob's going to call back, hopefully. But let's take Joan's call next. Joan, what can I do for you? What's your wrinkle?
Hi, Dr. Perry. Thanks so much for taking my call. And I just want to let you know I've been a fan for years. So I have two questions, one for you and one for your guest, Stephanie. So my question for you is I have acne rosacea, and it's been acting up a little bit, and I was wondering if you had any recommendations to decrease the redness. And for your guest, Stephanie, I have a teenage daughter, and she has sensitive skin, and I was wondering, and she wants to start wearing makeup, and I was wondering if she had any recommendations about makeup brands for sensitive skin.
Well, okay. Now, first of all, Stephanie can't mention brands on the show. So you're trying to corrupt this poor co-host here early, but we'll get to your we'll get to your question, your first question first, and then we'll talk to Stephanie about what she does for her skin for our Generation Z. All right.
That would be great.
So Joan, acne rosacea, or otherwise known as rosacea, if you have it, you should see you should be seeing a dermatologist because it's a fairly complex condition of the skin that has something to do with bacteria and something to do with the inflammation and something to do with irritation caused by smoke, alcohol, cinnamon, and all sorts of things that cause flushing of the skin. So a dermatologist will probably have you on a medication sometimes if it's bad enough. But as the condition progresses, the redness of the cheeks and nose goes from maybe occasionally to frequently and then to permanent in many people, where the capillaries of the face tend to get very large. And if you remember W.C. Fields, that old actor, you got to be pretty old to remember W.C. Fields. But
I remember him.
Yeah, so he had, or Jimmy Durante, these are the old time guys that had acne rosacea. And so they weren't treated properly. But when I see a patient with that, first of all, I don't treat it as a plastic surgeon. I defer to a dermatologist. However, I wind up seeing patients with acne rosacea when the redness gets to the point where they need to do something about it. So over the last few weeks, we've been talking about these laser treatments. And one of the great lasers for acne rosacea is called a YAG laser, Y-A-G. And what I do is we trace the little capillaries and the venules, that means small veins of the face, with the laser and zap them and kind of fry them. And if you have enough of these, you're going to get some swelling after the procedure. If you have only a couple of these, usually you don't get much swelling. So I've had people with rosacea that I've done fairly extensive lasering that we gave a couple doses of steroids to afterwards to help with some of the swelling. Again, usually that's not the case with the laser, but if it depends on the severity of your situation. The other thing that's useful for rosacea, and by the way, when we do these, when we treat the veins and the capillaries of the face, we kind of decrease the intensity of the redness, and that lasts for maybe a year or 2 years or three. It depends. It's sort of almost like weeding the garden. You have to go back, and those veins will grow back, the capillaries will grow back, and in a year or two or three, you might do another procedure. So the IPL, intense pulse light, is something we've also talked about on the show. In fact, last week we were talking about it. I hope you were listening. But the intense pulse light is also very useful for rosacea because it'll knock down the intensity of the redness and it'll do it a little faster and a little less expensively than the laser. So it all depends on just what your condition is. So that's it for rosacea. But now your question, I'm not sure my cohort in crime here, Stephanie, can answer this, but go ahead, Stephanie. Ask your question again. But remember, we don't mention any brands on this show.
Got it.
So go ahead. Ask your question, Joe.
I have a teenage daughter and she has sensitive skin. So I was wondering, instead of mentioning a product, perhaps you could tell me, is there a certain regimen that you use to clean your face and maybe prevent acne from popping up?
Okay, so I'll let Stephanie answer, and then I'm going to correct her. because I do this all day long, because people come in with these bizarre regimens that actually make their condition worse. So what do you do, Stephanie? And by the way, Stephanie isn't really the demographic of this show. She kind of changes it by about 50 years. But go ahead.
Okay, so what I do is, first when I take a shower, I just like wash my face normally, and I use a cleanser. And then after that, I can like exfoliate. It depends on the day. I don't want to exfoliate too much because I have really dry skin, so I don't want to like dry out my face or anything like that, because like I said, I have really dry skin. And then after, I take like a toner or something like that, because I always have like remaining dirt and or makeup left over that I want to get off. And I use like a really heavy moisturizer, like a really rich moisturizer. And I use like 2 or 3 pumps of that depending on how dry my skin is. And then after that, I have like a rose water facial spray just because it feels good. And then I use just like some acne clearing treatment because I'm a teenager and I get acne, as we all do. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to critique here. Joan, we're going to critique Stephanie. So I counted. She does a 6-step morning program, okay? And many of those steps are completely unnecessary, Stephanie. So let's get you straightened away. First of all, the word toner is a word that I don't even use in my regimen, because no one really knows what a toner is. It's an extra product that the companies want to sell you. They want you to spend even more money. So some companies define it one way, some companies define it another. And really what a toner is supposed to do is restore the normal pH of your skin. But if you use Dr. Perry's Clean Time soap, you will not need to restore the pH of your skin, because my soap is the correct pH of the skin. It's pH 5.5, which you don't know because you haven't hit biology yet. You have in school. But that's the pH of the skin. So toner's out. You want a cleanser, that's good. Exfoliation, you could do that, but you can do it just with a washcloth, or maybe something that contains lactic or glycolic acid. Those are fruit acids. They're a little more gentle on your skin than some of the other exfoliants. And you certainly don't want to use those things that have mechanical exfoliants. Like, there are some that have salt crystals and little plastic microbeads. Really bad for your skin and really bad for the environment. Very bad for you.
The one I have has like miniature quartz.
No, you don't want that. Don't do that. That will actually hurt your skin. So we're going to eliminate a few of those things. You also want to eliminate sulfates, and sulfates in your shampoo, sulfates in any soap cleansing product, because those can actually irritate your skin, make it feel dry. And certainly anyone who has acne, all right, here you go. You do not need, should not use a moisturizer. Should not. Now, take that from someone who makes a moisturizer. You don't need it. If you have acne, your oil-producing glands are working overtime already, and a moisturizer will do absolutely nothing to you other than clog more pores. So we can get rid of the toner. We can get rid of
exfoliant.
We're going to get rid of the moisturizer. The exfoliant you could just use with your cleanser as a washcloth. So we're already down to three substances. And remember, Stephanie, if you count the ingredients in those things that you put, I bet you are into hundreds of ingredients that you put on your skin, different chemicals, any one of which can cause an allergic reaction or sensitivity reaction to your skin. So you had a question for me. Go ahead.
How do you feel about salicylic acid?
Well, salicylic acid is a good, it's called a beta hydroxy acid as opposed to an alpha hydroxy acid. And it's actually quite good at dissolving oils and dissolving the dead layer of cells on the surface of your skin. So certain substances, certain companies make a salicylic acid wash, and that's good for you. That's okay. So I approve of that if you do have acne. If you don't, you don't need it. All right. So, Joan, thank you so much for your question. Michigan.
Thank you, Dr. Perry. Thank you, Stephanie.
You're very welcome. Thanks for listening. And Stephanie, that's pretty good answer. You know, most 16-year-olds would sit here and stutter and not be able to speak to the 50 or 100,000 people listening on the maybe a million people today.
Don't stress me out.
Listening to you from Maine to Virginia. So maybe there's a career in radio for Stephanie Weiss. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle? We've got more to the show. I really do want you to stay tuned. Now, I know the music is coming in early, but we're going to stay on in a couple more seconds. Well, you know, they jumped the gun in the studio. What the heck? But that's okay. I was just about to announce my Facebook page. And Facebook.com. Are you all on Facebook? I bet you are. Most people are. So I want you to go to Facebook.com/Dr. Arthur Perry. You'll learn all sorts of interesting things about cosmetic surgery, skin care, maybe about Stephanie. I don't know.
I'm not on Facebook.
All right. No, she's not. Now
Generation
the music comes in.
Z doesn't use that.
800-848-9222. We'll be back after these words.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And we're back. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. The phone number 800-848-9222. All right, so a lot of my practice, in fact, probably the majority of my practice, is facial rejuvenation in women. So you know who you are. Women who, how soon do you need facial rejuvenation? You know, I've done Botox in people in their 20s and fillers in their 20s and peels and lasers and even eyelid lifts in their 30s. So you know what? It's not just for 60-year-olds and 70-year-olds. But back when I was a resident, way back, we go all the way back to the 1980s at the University of Chicago, I did a lot of facial rejuvenating. Another tongue twister tonight. A lot of facial rejuvenation procedures way back then. But back in the 1980s, we were very limited in what we had to offer you. So if you were a 50-year-old woman and you came into my office way back in the 1980s, I'd say, well, we've got eyelid lifts, we've got brow lifts with really big incisions, we have facelifts, and if you had a lot of fine wrinkles, we'd do a deep chemical peel with phenol. You ever hear that one? The deep ones. We're not talking about these lunch hour peels or even the TCA peels that I talk about all the time. We're talking about the deep peels. That's what we had to offer. And if you wanted wrinkle filler, I didn't like using collagen. It was around since 1981, but collagen wasn't a great wrinkle filler. And the reason for that is it went away very quickly and your body attacked it. So fast forward to 2018, boy, have things changed in facial rejuvenation. We have so many different things to offer you. And it turns out that for the best rejuvenation, often it's not just one thing like Botox or fillers or Ulthera or laser or peel or surgery. In most cases, not just some, but most cases, you do best with a combination of different treatments. So in many women, I will be doing Botox. And by the way, it's Botox, it's Xeomin, it's Dysport. There's three different substances that do basically the same thing. And we kind of use the generic term Botox. But we use fillers. We use all sorts of different fillers now. We use Voluma for the cheekbones. And I like Restylane products. And we use Juvederm products and Bellotero. Lots of different fillers also. And each of these fillers has a little bit of a nuance of difference. And there's a lot of overlap, and we can often use the same filler in most people. But I look at you as an individual, and some people need that Bellotero, and some people need that Voluma, and some people need Radius, which we talked about earlier. Particularly, wasn't that a great story, by the way? I want to go back to that for a minute. Not to sound like Trump jumping between topics here, but certainly the Radius and the Ulthera, that was wild. When I read that study about treating cellulite on the buttocks and thighs with a combination of Radius and Ulthera, that's pretty good. And I know that Monday morning we're going to get a lot of phone calls for that. But anyway, back to the facial rejuvenation, the other cheeks. There are so many different techniques now, and I have found that the combination of techniques is usually the best. And so when someone says, I only want filler, well, you know, that's only part of the issue. And there's two papers that have been published in the last year that talked about the combined use of fillers and Ulthera. So they work better together than either of them alone. We'll fill the fine wrinkles with one type of filler and the deeper folds with another type of filler. And then we'll tighten the skin. And the crepey skin of the neck, which can't be tightened in any other way, we'll use Ulthera. So often that is a nice approach. And often, in fact, I did this just a couple days ago. Someone that I did a facelift on just a year ago still had a little bit of crepey skin of the neck. And why is that? Well, her jowls are gone. The bands in the neck are gone. But that a facelift does not help the crepey skin. It just doesn't. And you know what I'm talking about. If you've got crepey skin, you look at your neck, it's the same crepiness that you have in your upper arms and somewhat around the top of your chest and even in your thighs. It's just kind of micro loose skin. And it's not that we can just cut away skin and get rid of that crepiness, because when the dust settles and the swelling's gone, well, the crepiness is back. But Ulthera can treat the crepiness, because what it actually is doing is shrinking that little bit of crepiness. And it's documented in the literature now. The face, the upper chest, it's the only thing that can treat the upper chest. You know, those vertical lines that we get, you know, from the sun. And women get this a lot more than men, probably because of the weight of the breasts and the way the motions of the chest are, and the low-cut shirts and dresses that are used that men usually don't use. So we get sun damage in the top of our chest. Ulthera is a great way to treat those wrinkles. But we also add filler. And we add filler, you know, those horizontal lines of the neck that are very, very difficult to treat. In fact, just a couple years ago, I told women there's just not much we can do for those. But there are now many studies that show that filler can be used to fill those lines in the neck. And then Ulthera, we go over the entire neck from the chin down to just about the collarbones with Ulthera. And we can really treat very nicely the crepiness and those fine lines and really make the neck look significantly better. So it's not all surgery, but eventually it might well be surgery, because some of the things don't work as well as we had hoped. Things like the barbed sutures, not as good as we had hoped. Those lifting stitches, you know, they're very, very ephemeral. That's the word. The effect is here today, and then it's kind of gone very quickly. So we're pretty much back to when you have significant bands of the neck, when you've got really heavy jowls. If you're young enough, you can have liposuction of the jowls in the neck. But if you're over 50, you know, I mean, maybe it all depends on the quality of your skin. I did see someone who was 60 that we're going to be doing liposuction of the neck and jowls, and her skin quality is just excellent, so we can do that. But most of you, we are talking about a lifting procedure like a facelift. But even the facelifts now in 2018 are so different from the facelift of 30 years ago when we did those long incisions. And those of you who have had those, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The incision goes several inches above the ear, and then in front of the ear, and then behind the ear, and you never show off those incisions behind your ear, because they all look bad, no matter what your skin color, no matter who your surgeon is, unfortunately. The incisions behind the ear, and I've seen a lot of incisions from great plastic surgeons, I mean, people that I've learned from and went to lectures by, and then you see the incisions, and you say, well, you know what? It's not the surgeon. It really isn't when you have those really bad scars behind the ear. What it is the ability to heal in the way scars heal behind the ear. So the short scar facelift eliminates those, and that does an awful lot for you. So a short scar facelift, what is that? We no longer make the incision up in the hairline above the ear. We make a sideburn incision in front of the ear, and a little short incision in front of the ear going into the ear behind that thing called the tragus. Did you learn that in ninth grade? Probably not. The tragus, that's that little dingo, that little cartilage in the ear that some people in a silly way, put piercings through. Not a good idea, by the way. Don't pierce your tragus. And then that scar goes just for about a quarter inch or so behind the ear. That's called a short scar facelift. It's also called an S-lift. And it's also called probably about 30 different names because it seems that every plastic surgeon just likes to name the short scar facelift after themselves. I don't know why they do that, but a lot of plastic surgeons like to do things like that. So there's these short scar facelifts. We also need to make an incision right under the chin. And through that incision, we suction fat, bring the bands together, and then we lift the cheeks and the jowls in a separate layer. It's a two-layered facelift, rather, with a short scar. That's the facelift of 2018. The recovery is so much faster than it was from a longer scar facelift. And you say, why would that be? Well, you know, it kind of makes sense. If we're not lifting as much tissue and creating as much scarring and swelling, then you're going to heal faster. And I have had people go back to work at a week after a short scar facelift. I don't recommend it. I don't. You have some explaining to do sometimes because you can't fully hide the incisions. But if you're like Joan Rivers, Joan, I talked to on this show, and she was a wonderful woman, but she told everybody about her surgery, and that's one way to get people to stop talking about it. Just tell people. That is an effective way because everybody likes the mystery, right? So if you go back to work in a week and you say, hey, I had a facelift, people, that's the end of it. But if you go back to work in a week and you've got the glasses on and the hair covering and, you know, the paparazzi are taking pictures of you, they love things like that. And so the mystery is what people like. So, you know, I encourage my patients, go ahead and just tell everybody because no one really cares in the long run, you know. So more patients now do tell people that they've had surgery as opposed to years ago when, you know, it was the big, big secret. Remember who it was that took cosmetic surgery out of the dark back rooms and into the forefront of the television? It was Phyllis Diller. Remember her? She was another great actress, and she was actually given an award by the American Society of Plastic Surgeons. Isn't this interesting? She was given an award because she was the first celebrity to go public, even before Joan Rivers, with her cosmetic surgery. She went public, and it was greatly appreciated because it probably enriched the lives and pocketbooks of many plastic surgeons when Phyllis Diller went public with her cosmetic surgery because it became more acceptable at that point for you and I to have our cosmetic surgery. So whether you tell people, whether you don't tell people, that's your business. But certainly the short scar facelift makes it much easier to hide it because the incisions are shorter. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. The show goes so quickly, I could talk for hours, and my family, who always waits for me after these shows, tells me, yes, you could talk for hours, right? Anyway, don't forget to check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/Dr. Perry. And also, and if you could just lower that music just a little bit, thank you. Don't forget, if you're interested in the products, the nighttime, the soft time, the daytime, the clean time, go to drperrys.com. We often have specials. Sometimes they're advertised, sometimes they're not. If you call the office, which is 732-422-9600, we'll tell you what they are. Thanks so much for listening. Great engineering. We'll see everybody next week. Bye-bye now.